I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell on 95BFM.
Is it?
Is it?
Is it?
Is it?
Welcome.
G'day.
What's going on, Steve?
Just busied out the office.
Okay.
Some filing, some email tidying. Trying to work out what all those different Google Sheets I have that are called untitled actually are.
Mm.
Too many untitled.
Was it digital filing or do you actually have a physical drawer with files
today.
In
I've
it?
Printing today, yeah. It's not totally paperless office.
Okay.
Almost.
So your days aren't just spent at the cinema on a beanbaggy eating popcorn, watching movies at Flix?
No. That's quite good. I'm not a big fan of a beanbag watching a movie. Sort of like,
why not
quite
a bit noisy.
Sore neck afterwards.
Look, it is a bit noisy actually. Bit of rustle. But yeah, sore neck mostly. It's not great for the support.
All right. Maybe you just need a bigger beanbag.
There are good and bad beanbags. Oh, that's fair. That's fair to say.
Yeah, maybe just like a layer of memory foam.
I think everyone wants is just like a room with a bean floor, because the beanbag always moves around on you. But if you just had a bean floor.
Or like one of those pools, like full of balls.
Does anyone actively have a waterbed at the moment? Does anyone at all have one? And my Uncle George can't call up from 1984 either. But does anybody have one?
Not me.
Far out, man. A waterbed, eh? That's weird.
Pretty weird.
No, but good.
Hey, movies though.
Movies. You know, from week to week, I often kind of get a little bit disappointed in the behaviour of human beings and looking at what films people are actually actively going to versus which ones they bloody well should go to. But it gave me a lot of delight. Not Schadenfreude, because I don't wish the film badly, but it gave me a lot of pleasure that people turned their back in droves on the racy puppet comedy The Happy Time Murders over the last week.
So it's out?
Yeah, it's out. It opened last week.
Are people tired of that funny lady? Or is it kind of a bit more?
People might be a little bit tired of Melissa McCarthy, but I just had this... I mean, you guys...
Maybe it's
a failure of marketing because it didn't reach you gentlemen.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was out and you sent us the trailer and I was like, oh, someone sent a puppet movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a taboo thing to have puppets doing what these puppets are doing, almost like nobody watched Team America.
Totally. So we've already had the Peter Jackson precursor Meet the Feebles, which is the sort of most obvious Muppets gone AWOL sort of film. Team America, puppets, but sort of more not the kind of like felt and hand.
No, these are like Jim Henson style puppets. That's what I think. It's a bit too close to home for a lot
Happy
of people.
Time
that's wholesome memories, that people are they're kind of meddling.
Yeah,
with
and
a little bit.
It's had a bit of a tortured development process. It's Jim Henson's son Brian's baby. He made a couple of
what?
He made a couple of Muppet movies.
Like
he knows his stuff pretty well.
Oh, that kind of makes it even more sticky.
There are legit Muppet puppeteers. Right, the puppets are built by the same people out of the same felt and hot glue guns. But it just turns out that people don't really want to see like felt puppets rooting and jizzing.
Do you think that there has probably been like old archival private footage of the Hensons like making these sorts of crass videos that are probably in like
that
all in
I
the back
see.
Room? They're like, oh my god, we'll never be able to release this to the public, but now you know the sun's come along and
let's get the
years
the
have gone by
to
and
get
they're like,
with
hey,
animal.
Finally, let's have a crack at all these jokes that we've been working away at privately for years and years. No?
I'm going to say no to that. But right. I do like the idea of this kind of, these like canisters of like dodgy film. Well, the thing with the Henson Company is that they, you know, it wasn't really necessarily envisaged as content solely originally for children.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Henson was like, I think he got on the deck a little bit, Jim Henson, probably. But the thing that they just never did was, aim low in either, you know, underestimating the age of their audience or just doing like shit jokes.
And
I think what we're looking at here.
What's the movie called again?
It's called The Happy Time Murders.
Is it good or bad?
You know what? I didn't see it. I'm just glad that
I saw one scene.
Lots of other people didn't.
It was like a whole roll of string was acting as jizz coming out of this puppet John.
I didn't see that.
I was freaking out. I was like, that is actually quite full on.
To give you some context, and it, like,
and then I was like, if that's in a if human was doing that, it would just be just the shittest film. Like, it's tacky and yuck. But when a puppet does it, John, it's kind of a little bit.
I think the idea here, and this is the film's been like, it's been sort of 10 years in the making. This film.
Wow.
Like, in sort of, you know, before it eventually kind of rolled into motion.
You got to sew them up, don't it?
But yeah, I think the thing is, like, it's aimed at people for whom, like, that's so weird. It's got puppets, but they're doing adult things.
Oi, you need to watch it. It's so buzzy, oi.
Yeah. Yeah. To give you some context on how badly it performed, it made $91,000 in its opening weekend.
A lot of money.
And when you add up all the money that all the films above it, it placed 8th in the box office. When you add up all the money that the other films made, it was $1.46 million. So that's a lot of money that it didn't get.
So there's 10 years of wages in there somewhere that needs to be covered.
Yeah, yeah. People voting with their wallets. Wow. Or maybe they read the censorship warning on
this
film.
Yes, this is actually something I wanted to touch on.
It was rated R16, violence, offensive language, sexual material, and other content that may offend. But to be honest, I would think that for the audience that they're trying to get for this film, that's exactly what they want to know is in it.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to see. That's the sort of the whole premise of the film, right?
Mm. Right.
I don't know about you gents, but growing up as a teenager and going to the video store,
I look for that hot red sticker.
I like my horrors. Yeah. I like getting my horrors, and I would look for that red sticker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the good horrors.
Now, just on that, how do the ratings work? What is the turnover point to, like at what graphic point or at what nudity section does it go from 13 to 16?
It changes. It's quite subjective.
Right.
And
is that country to country situation?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So here the classification is the Office of Film and Literature classification.
Oh, is it just okay?
They're actually quite. It used to be quite an opaque organisation. Now the website's actually quite good for these guys. There's a lot of information about. Well, they walk you through like some scenarios of how they got to the end point of rating a film, instance, which is quite good. So. The criteria they look for are sex, horror, crime, cruelty, and violence, and they sort of like evaluate those individual scales and decide, on those five bases, what rating they're going to give it. Is this for adults? What do we need to tell people before they see this?
So they get like an advanced copy, and then that crew or whatever you were saying, sit down and they watch
or an
it.
Individual does it.
It's an individual, really. There's three departments. There's 11 classification officers in total, and like anything that you see with a classification sticker on it, has either been some stuff gets cross rated. So if it's not red stickered in another jurisdiction, it can just be, it can just have the same one here. So Aussie and New Zealand, if something's aimed at teenagers, then generally it won't need to get reclassified here.
Right.
But there is a lot of shit that people need to watch. And in particular, there's a lot of pornography that people need to watch.
Yeah.
Which sounds great until you think about what that actually involves day in, day out, going to the office.
Has there been
that.
Any massive faux pas of late where it's been like, ooh, that probably should have been in a stronger, something like that?
I don't know. I think probably the...
Because the threshold, as we get more gnarly as a people, surely the threshold starts to move, doesn't it? Like back in the day, it would have been a little bit of knee, would have been like, hey, whoa.
Totally. So I've got two examples from opposite ends of the spectrum for that one. One is I came across a discussion on Twitter about why Watership Down is only rated G. It's a bit scarier than a G-rated movie. Shouldn't it be a bit more hard out of a rating? Like PG? And the answer was that just hasn't been reclassified since it was first released. Maybe it would get a different result now. Probably the most controversial one in the last year or so would be the Netflix show 13 Reasons, which is a show exploring suicide, and it was given a real butty rating. I think it was RP18, which is you can watch it under that age if you're with your parents.
And that was more on the angle of the content of suicide and stuff, or was there actually some graphic suicide situations?
Pass. I think it's like
a
topic that parents should be able to discuss with their children, but the depiction of it in the show might be something they shouldn't watch by themselves, might be the rationale there. But you check out their website, it's quite interesting, classificationoffice.govt.nz, and someone do let me know if there's a non-pornographic job opening up there that you can just like play games every day or watch horrors every day or something.
Steve, just one last question. Do you think that we're seeing less and less like R16 content? People are just going for accessible, you know, blockbuster stuff.
More bums and seats.
More bums and seats, less blood and guts.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. I think that with so many films having that, you know, like 100 mil plus budget, they need to get all that money back, and so all the kiddies need to be able to see it. So then you're gunning for an M rating, which is a recommendation only. But you know, I think that you still want your sweet kills and stuff.
Oh, one
bit
more
of nudity in a film if you're a little bit older.
Does it ever change from the movie to the DVD, like the rating?
Generally not, but right. Sometimes depending on they can cross-rate films and basically just go, we're just going to take the same rating as Australia until someone might write in and say that's not appropriate, or can you please take another look at it? Mm. Can you consider these factors? So, yeah, it does. Not drastically. What's the answer there?
I'll tell you what, this content has been way more highbrow than I thought this segment was going to be, considering what we're talking about. Like those crazy Muppets and then restricted stuff.
We turned it around.
But it's been good.
It's been
really good. I've learned some stuff.
I'm going to whip you through really quickly what they had to say about The Wolf of Wall Street when they gave that a classification of R18 for drug use, sex scenes, and offensive language.
It's hedonistic maniac, isn't
the,
it?
The
and an ad. It's basically an ad for Quaaludes.
Basically,
can't
yeah.
get them. Yeah.
The where is it? The summary of this is that the dominant effect of The Wolf of Wall Street is a flamboyant drama laden with sex and drugs. The unrestricted availability of the publication would be injurious to the public good, given the manner in which it deals with matters of sex, crime, and to a lesser extent, violence. The film normalizes drug use to a high degree by presenting it in an attractive light and often free of consequences. This is in conjunction with frequent scenes of sex and sexualized nudity, with women often objectified for the men's entertainment. Children and teenagers are unlikely to have the cognitive and emotional development needed to correctly interpret these depictions.
Fair call.
And are likely to be harmed or disturbed by seeing them. Okay. Adults are likely to have the maturity and life experience to put these images and themes into the context of a drama based on true events. The inclusion of highly offensive language and sexual references also contribute to the need for a restriction.
Spot on.
That's what's going on. That's not from the poster, obviously, or the sticker on
the cover.
The
fine print under the R18. All right. Hey, cheers, Steve.
You're welcome. See you at Not the Happy Time Murders.
Oh, somebody says we can get them. Paul, why don't you just send a message to our Facebook page, 95 BFM Driver Johnny Big Hungry, or I'll give you a call. Sounds like we might have really... This segment just picked up.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.